Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us this morning. We're very pleased to have in studio. It's a two-for-one sale. We've got Leslie McPherson. She's going to be the alternate, or was the alternate delegate to the Republican National Convention. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to mention, I've got a little click there, about her being the mayor of Villarica. And before we get started, though, I think we all, certainly as a community and certainly as a group of radio stations, and I'm sure the mayor extends her condolences also to the Nealon family and to the Haney family. Tragic crash of the Pilatus last Friday. And the Nealons have been an important part through their music of our radio stations. My father had a Southern gospel station. We started playing Rex Nealon Family back in the late 70s, and I played a lot of CDs and records when I was doing Sundays, so a real tragic thing. And then Larry Haney was a tremendous gentleman. I had the honor of meeting him one time, talked to him briefly from Villarica, and his business is there. So horrible thing, part of life is when we have these tragedies. So we'd like to just kind of start the program by acknowledging that, and then we're going to ask Leslie to put on her Republican National Convention hat now. And you were there in Milwaukee for the entire week, from what I understand.
I was, yes.
What was it? Obviously, that convention was different than most when your presumed nominee, there was an attempted assassination 2 days prior to the start of the convention. What was the atmosphere like among the delegates? And just kind of give us a rundown from on-the-ground perspective.
Well, let me say this up front as far as, you know, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, if you don't participate somewhere, right, you're going to have no influence. And so while I'm not a big fan of the party system, just like George Washington wasn't, it is the system we exist with. And I have chosen to be active and involved and influence the party that I feel aligns most closely with my values, everything from pro-life, et cetera. With the convention, we were actually on our way there just outside Chicago when I was using my phone. I had it attached, you know, to the windshield, one of those things. And I was using it as a GPS. Had a friend who was my car mate and roommate, and she and I were making the trip together when a text came up at the top of it, and I glanced at it, and I thought it was a joke, something about Trump being shot. And immediately, since I was driving, I asked Deborah, will you look at my phone and read it to me? And then it went from there. That had, obviously, it hit us hard because something like that, no matter who it is, no matter which party it is tragic. I've been concerned even about Robert Kennedy and the fact that they've lost two of their family members to assassination. So it was shocking. It was traumatic, I believe. And it changed the tone. It changed the tone immediately when we arrived there with the other delegates and alternates.
I was actually watching the rally live when the shots started, so I got to see it in real time, and you knew at the moment exactly what was going on. I think the thing that, I mean, there's so much about this, and we could just stay on this one topic, but one thing that struck me was the crowd did not disperse. Whenever you see something as horrible as this, the crowd generally goes in every direction screaming and yelling, and at least the people in the front part of the rally, they just stayed still. And I think that was what motivated him in large part to stand up and do the fist salute, was the crowd didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought about that as much as I had thought about how close it was and the coincidence of, you know, turning your head slightly, happy to have a chart that particular time at that moment. They said usually he doesn't turn his head. He's more of pivot,
sure,
entirely.
The whole body movement.
And that there were a lot of things that were what a lot of people would look at coincidental. But I'll tell you, from the time we arrived in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, there was that strong sense that God decides when people are going to go and not go, and we can't explain, right? Because while he was spared, the fireman wasn't.
Corey
that protected
Compatore.
His family. Yeah. Yes. And Corey decided he was going to do everything he could to protect his family. And we can't explain that. We can't explain why one person, you know, remains and another doesn't. And the other two that are injured, my understanding is the second one was recently released from the hospital. So that's good news. But it definitely changed the tone. There was a real strong sense that I appreciated as a believer and a Christian that believes that ultimately God is on the throne and he's the most powerful being in the universe, is that there was a strong recognition of God and his sovereignty that I don't think we would have had at the convention.
No,
I mean,
you
would have had elements of it.
Well, it'd been more like when Reagan took over the Republican Party in 1980 after fighting him in 76. But this was different because Reagan's assassination attempt was, I think it was 6 months into the presidency or thereabouts. So this was not only a unified party because of the Trump influence, it was a unified party because of the, like you said, the renewed sense of the sovereignty of God. So it was a fascinating kind of situation. When you were there on the floor among the delegates, kind of elaborate on that unity. I mean, it wasn't normally the Republican Party, as you stated at the beginning, is, you know, fractured and divided into parts. You have your mainline rhino kind of Republicans and you have, you know, your conservative Republicans. Did you see much of that? I didn't see any of that as far as the coverage.
I think we saw less of it than we would have because of what had happened. But nonetheless, right from the beginning with the platform, the rules, there was controversy. There always is. And that's okay because you have different people in the party that feel differently about, you know, the topics and who's going to ram their agenda. And so, you know, there was some controversy with the language of the platform and all. And I saw some of that on the news. But to be honest, some of y'all at home see more news than we do because our schedule was jam-packed. And so was the arena. I mean, you better be friendly with whoever's around you. And especially as it got to the last two nights when there were just so many people in there and the guests weren't missing either. I got to be on the floor three times, quite a bit, two of the evenings, and then probably for about 20 minutes the night of the president's speech, along with a number of other speeches. I would say Wednesday night was the most impressive, though. Mm-hmm. The speakers on Wednesday night with the Gold Star families, the World War II vet, but it was also really emotional because you went from kind of the highs and inspiration of the World War II vet to everybody trying to wipe their eyes and keep it under control when the Gold Star families were speaking. And also those that had lost children to various, you know, forms of violence. So it went up and down emotionally that night. But if I had to pick a favorite night, it would be Wednesday night, just the speakers they had.
Mm-hmm. So I think it was DeSantis Wednesday night and Nikki Haley.
I should know, right?
Yeah, because I think so. Did you see, what did you think of J.D. Vance's speech and of him in general?
I liked his speech. I don't know him as well as, say, someone like Governor DeSantis, but I knew enough about him. And I started looking to sources that I trust for news to see how they saw him. Obviously, I'm looking at things like the sanctity of life, you know, are we going to get involved in endless wars? Because we're a military family. And to be honest, I have real strong feelings about how we take care or don't take care of our military people. And, you know, some of his stands on dealing with the money with Ukraine. So I knew I had some things in common. I believe my personal opinion is that he was the best choice out of all the ones that were being floated.
Well, it was a critical choice because like any of these, particularly with Reagan, I'll go back to Reagan. He chose the head of CIA, and H.W. Bush was very much a, insider type of VP, and J.D. Vance is not. So I think it signals that second time around, Pence was pretty much an insider, status quo Republican. But so it indicates that he's ready to do something this next term if he's elected.
And I think that was kind of my feeling, is that he may rattle some cages, is the term I use. But that's because I'm not a big establishment-like person. Mm-hmm. I think Washington is sick. I think even healthy people go there and get sick in some sort of way and get taken in by the power and the pressure to do certain things. I believe we have a problem with leadership in both parties of those people that stay up there way too long, which is why I'm a big believer in having government operate a lot, I guess you would say, bring back more authority and control at the state level and the local level.
Where it belongs.
Absolutely. That's the way we were designed from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And as I say to people, you know, at the state level, we still see our guys, don't we, and our gals. We see our senators, we see our representatives, and people know where I live. You know, you call and try to talk to your congressman.
You can't.
Unless you're in a certain position, you're not talking to them.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, being FCC licensed, we have our own personal relationship with the overreached federal government, and so it'll be interesting to see if he does something about the administrative state or the deep state, because that's critical in terms of, you know, restoring those freedoms. When Trump made his speech, you could tell it was a different tone at the beginning of it. They say now he's going back to his old self, and that he says, you know, I'm not going to let the shooter change me. So what was your thoughts when you heard him speak on that?
Well, if I can respond to what you just said, may go back to his old self, but at the same time, I don't think anybody experiences that
right. And
goes exactly back to their own self. Maybe on the surface, but when you evade death that narrowly... the speech was, I think, because he had thrown away his other one. that's what we were told anyway. I would have saved it just in case. It's probably worth something. I'm sure there's a copy somewhere. But the tone was much mellower. Mm-hmm. There more talk of unity. And if you don't mind me adding a little levity, after that it kind of just went on and on and on. And we were joking because I'm kind of up in the loft with the other alternates. And we're kind of saying, it's time to bring that plane in for a landing now.
I think
it was riveting, really, in the first 15, 20 minutes when he was talking about the experience that he said he'd never talk about again.
Yeah.
And just what happened that moment by moment as he was on stage.
Our guest this morning is Leslie McPherson. Our first segment, we've been talking about her role as an alternate delegate to the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. I guess that was a little over a week ago. We only have 99 days to the election, and I think everybody agrees we'll be glad when it's over.
Stop getting those text messages
all the time. Well, we're going to come back. She's going to put on her Villarica mayor hat, and... it may be a red one, but we'll see when we come back after this.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. We're delighted to have you with us this morning. We have Mayor Leslie McPherson in studio of the great city of Villarica and the great state of Georgia. And Villarica has been in the news in the last several months or so.
Oh, goodness.
Has everything calmed down up there? How's Jeff Reese doing as the interim city manager?
Jeff is doing very well. I'm trying to make sure we keep his blood pressure down because of the pressure and the amount of things that are going on and the hours he's putting in. And I know he's one of those that will, you know, be awake in the middle of the night coming up with another plan or how to fix something or solve it. And I would say that things are going well. It's extremely busy, but it's a good busy. And as far as things being settled down, in a lot of ways, yes, especially the controversy and the back and forth. It's much better than it was. We still have, obviously, some concerns over in the Cleghorn area that we're trying to work with the citizens there. And I think we're coming along in that situation because they had good reason to be upset. And I think in the end, we're going to be in good shape.
I doubt there's any relationship with this. I saw in the executive session y'all purchased two houses on Myrtle Street. What was that about?
You know, the what we were told in regard to that was that there was going to be need to be a repair done because there's a type of retaining wall that's put in over there with railroad ties that's failing. And it's right up next to the road. It's on the right of way. And that it was going to cost us more to repair it than own the property. And the property was for sale. But I don't know if that's going through or not at this point. I've heard a few different stories, so we'll see.
It used to be called, if I'm not mistaken, the Mirror Lake Connector, and now we've changed the name to the Villarica Parkway.
Well, that was really just a temporary name because prior to that, it was called the Shoreline Extension. And prior to that, it was whatever we're going to connect one side of the city to the other side of the city with. But just know this, whenever anything comes up with purchasing property or doing anything else over there, there's a few of us that get really nervous and start trying to ask questions and research because we want to know, why are we buying that?
You know, how much are we paying for it?
Yeah.
So what have you learned now that you're mayor that you didn't know as city council person? In terms of things that were being done that did not come before the council, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, some of that I had discovered prior and was open with the council on it sometime when we had some information withheld prior to a vote that had to do with my ward. It was in Ward 3 and was those 45 acres of rezoning, but it had to do with some commitments that had been made that weren't relayed to us on the second vote. Other things I don't think we've uncovered yet that happened, but sometimes it's not even that it's hidden as much as the stage can be set. Mm-hmm. The stage is set and packaged prior to the time it gets to the council. Also, it's my goal to involve the council and especially the mayor's appointed financial committee up front on the budget. It's not the mayor's job to put the budget together. The charter is very clear that the city manager puts the budget together. But the when we talk about the Shoreline Extension, the Mirror Lake Connector, the Villarica Parkway, as it was planned to be officially known, but for some reason the other one got put on the signs. I guess they had to get something done for address reasons with the businesses that were going on. We never really knew the exact route, just that there was going to be that connection. I really thought it was going to be further the other way and come in more directly by the courthouse. I knew that's where it was supposed to end or connect would be at North Carroll and come through Gordon Street. That route then we started to understand that route. And obviously, it was even changed from coming down the middle of Darden Street when it was clear that it would involve taking people's homes. And I'm not saying necessarily by eminent domain, because there was no stomach for eminent domain on the council. And the previous city manager said that to me, that he knew there was no stomach for that. So my feeling was, how could we make a commitment when we didn't know that we could take that route because you didn't own the property? Now, I can't say that I had no fault, because I did. I was part. I mean, I don't want to hide this. I will be absolutely honest and open that I was very much for connecting the two sides of the city.
And how much was all that projected to cost?
I can't tell you that, because we didn't have...
Is it a secret?
No, you know, I honestly believe that even, you know, from those that were, you know, mapping it out from the beginning, how much would you pay for property? And I was surprised that that wasn't even up front, you know, as far as offering money for easements. I really don't know how long it had been decided that a particular route would be the best one to take. And then, of course, that wasn't the best one to take. And it was changed from there. And even now, Jeff is still working on the best route. I think he's decided on one and is still trying to put a few other things together. And speaking with people in the community over there, which has got to be, I mean, that's the most important thing. People are more trusting if you'll just be open, transparent, and give them every bit of information you can on where you are with it. But, you know, it's coming along. I don't know that anybody hid that. I just know the council wasn't clear about exactly where it would go and what it, and the properties that would be involved.
So approximately how mm-hmm. much is this thing going to cost?
I can't tell you that, because we're not taking the original route designed or the secondary route that was designed. So I imagine we're going to, my guess is it would be less, though, because the less than the route before. Because the goal is to impact as few properties over there as possible.
Well, if you don't know how much it's going to cost, then how do you proceed?
Well, we knew we had, you know, some grant money. And we have set aside money, just like we have for Punkintown Road. People may not know it, but we had allocated millions to Punkintown Road and are still working on grants. But I don't think until the engineers, in other words, so they're going to do a plan. You'll draw out a plan, and then somebody's going to have to figure out exactly how much that's going to cost.
And how's it going to be paid for?
I would say a combination of, I hope it will use that grant money that I was afraid we were going to lose at one time. And I honestly can't tell you exactly from the general fund exactly what was allocated for that.
Okay.
You may want to talk to Jeff on the numbers.
That's fine. That's a little bit of my reporter history percolating up.
How do you like the answer to that one?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm not quite sure. Maybe, but it depends. But it really does. Until that route is designed, and other than a rough sketch, I can't tell you a number.
Let's go ahead and take our second break. Come back, and we'll do a little clean up on the program and address a couple more things in the few minutes we have left. But let's hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more after this.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The customized academic scholar journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm back with Leslie McPherson, and in the second part of the program, she's got her mayor of Villarica hat on. Just briefly, in front of Publix, Fuquay, there's all kinds of traffic issues. Are they being resolved?
It's not entirely in front of it, but there's a particular place that if you're coming from I-20 and you want to make a left-hand turn into the first entrance rather than going down to the light, if it's the time of day when traffic's coming home, it's a mess. And so we're going to address it at first with signage. I have a feeling that's probably not going to be the final fix. If people would just obey the signage or look 100, 200 yards down the road and go, I can go down to that traffic light and make my left there and not hold up, you know, 25, 30 cars.
We often hear about the northwest quadrant of Carroll County being where all the growth is. And as a proud resident of the friendly city of Bowdoin, I would agree with that. But Bowdoin's growing, but in a wonderful way. Economic development is a huge thrust now of Villarica. Are we losing Carroll County character, and is Villarica becoming more metro? What's the latest, greatest on that?
That definitely is the appearance. I proposed a six-month moratorium on multifamily housing, and the council was agreeable to that. So my goal is to see which property is left, and I've asked community development to check that out. See what is left that's already zoned that could be used that way without having to come before the governing body. Because I really do believe we're exploding too fast. In that sense, with residential, at the same time, we've ignored commercial growth and our downtown. Our downtown has suffered, especially since COVID, and it's only gotten worse. But the good news is, from the time I got in January and even a little bit before I actually take office, I started to put together a group of people that I knew had influence, had contacts, could help us with our downtown and with jobs. And we've only done better since then because I've either built or rebuilt bridges with both counties and with the economic development side of both of those. So when you talk about the chambers, Carroll Tomorrow, Douglas County Chamber coming on board with what we're doing with empty spaces downtown. So people will be, I think, pleased where if everything comes through. And that's the only reason why I don't speak about it openly is because until you have things locked in, you don't want to have your hopes dashed. But the MD Publix is a focus. Uncorked did recently close. That's a focus. Mm-hmm. O'Charlie's. There's restaurant space like that. And so there we're really working on that and jobs. So our focus will be driving more commercial and job related.
Our guest this morning has been Leslie McPherson. She's the mayor of Villarica, and she also served as an alternate delegate to the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. So we got two programs for the price of one, which I thought was really cool. And we thank you for listening. This is posted on our Facebook page and our website. And so with that said, 99 days till election, by the way, go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.